Another struggle, another obstacle, another problem.
Ain't no telling where I'm about to go. Ain't no telling what I'm about to do. But I don't need you telling me what I need to do or who I need to be. Just let me be free.
Rate, subscribe, and share.
Yay!
Oh, wow. I need to change that bomb water for goddamn sure. Damn. Woo. Let's dump that right out now so we don't forget. Woo, goddamn. Wow. Good morning, jesters. Good morning, jestettes. Good morning, fellow Jesterians. Good morning, Mr. Pickle. I fucking love you, man. And I miss the hell out of you. Oh, I'd like to know what kind of person you are. I'd love to get to know you, man. But we'll see. We'll see what time brings because of liars. Oh, man. I saw a post yesterday. I've seen it before, but every time I see it, I get it and I share it. It says that the most deplorable thing you can do is turn the child against the mother or the father. And it's just, it is. It's fucking disgusting. Like, I don't understand how the fuck anybody could do that. I mean, it's a fucking parent, and you're taking that child away from their parent. That is fucked up. Okay, guys, I'm sorry. Fuck that hoe. Fuck Kristen. Kristen Koch is her name. Oh, Kristen DeVilliger. I don't fucking know. She's a goddamn whore, and she fucking stole my son from me. Fuck that hoe. Oh, she deserved to die slowly as syphilis eats her brain. God, I hate that fucking woman. That's the only fucking person on this planet that I hate. Whew, okay, but let's get past this, because it is what it is. Let's just take a sip of this coffee. Oh, man. You know, that kind of leads me into another thing that, you know, people say they don't judge. I don't judge. No judgment here. Is that wise? I mean, I judge every fucking person I see. Like, is this person a good person for me to associate myself with? Do their actions line up with actions that I would agree with? I mean, you're always judging. You can't say you don't judge. That's bullshit. Because you need to judge. You need to keep the right people in your life and the wrong people out. And the only way you're going to do that is by passing judgment. So when people say they don't judge, I call you a fucking liar. You're a fucking liar. You judge every goddamn second of your goddamn day. Oh, excuse me. At least I do. Man, that was harsh, man. Goddamn, I wish I would have done that before this show started because, woo, that was insane. Crazy. Crazy. So yeah, the other day, I was sitting here. And, I think you guys probably already know, the fucking big-ass German Shepherd come around the corner. I'm like, hey, what's up, buddy? What you doing here? And he just trotted up to me, and, you know, I pat him, you know, he was friendly. Could you imagine if he wasn't friendly? Oh, my God, I would have fucking been dead. Oh, man, but it was scary. Well, it was scary at first because I know the house behind me, that lady has a very, very aggressive German Shepherd. And I thought that might have been him. But I'm thinking that maybe because his human wasn't around, he wouldn't be so aggressive. And luckily, that wasn't the dog. It wasn't her. So it was another dog. And it was funny. It was a good time. I'm a dog lover. I'm not going to lie. I'm an animal lover. I love animals. Oh, shit. Anyway, let's get into the UFC. Let's see what kind of bullshit they're trying to sell us today. Because, well, that's just what they do. They sell you bullshit. So.
A power struggle that emerged in Haiti after President Jovenel Moïse was assassinated appears to be over.
Right, so two men have been fighting for control in Haiti since the president was killed. Now they are said to have come to an agreement. This deal would put in charge the man who Moïse handpicked. The international community backs the choice, and he could be sworn in today.
NPR's Carrie Khan covers Haiti and joins us from Mexico City. Carrie, what do we know about this man who has been tapped as Haiti's new prime minister?
His name is Ariel Henry. He's 71 years old. He's a neurosurgeon. He's studied in France and Boston. Huh. He's been in the government before, and he's held several ministerial-level positions. And on Sunday, he posted a video referring to himself as the prime minister and pledging to build what he says is an inclusive government for all Haitians.
Hey, you need your smell good? You need your incense? You need your incense poster? You need anything cannabis-related? Burners? Where do you need to go for all your smoking accessories? Get your new glass. Beautiful glass. Beautiful hand-blown glass. American-made. It's beautiful. It's 710cloudy.com. 710cloudy.com. Also get clothing there. Get shirts. Use code SWED10 at checkout. Save 10% on your entire order. Get your Sessions with the Jester t-shirt at 710cloudy.com or 71 Degrees and Cloudy in Lakewood, New York at 50 Chautauqua Avenue. Now let's get back to the show.
J'ai l'intention de poursuivre et d'approfondir ces discussions, car c'est le seul moyen de rassembler la famille haïtienne.
He says, I'm committed to holding profound discussions with all stakeholders in Haiti. And he's saying this is the only way to overcome differences, unite the Haitian family, and bring about a different future for the country.
As though for Henri to take power, the acting prime minister, Claude Joseph, has to step down. And the two men have been vying for this role for the past couple of weeks since the president was killed. Is Joseph really stepping down?
This is a weird situation.
Claude Joseph says he will. He told NPR in an interview it was never his intention to remain in power. He just wanted to make sure his friend President Jovenel Moïse gets justice, that his killers are caught and tried. I spoke with Haiti's election
Absolutely.
Minister
Something
Pierre
about that
and he said yes, Joseph but, is prepared to accept this agreement and return to his role
It's going to be hard, difficult.
Pierre also said
because
this, that in the agreement no interim president will be
they said when the first time this came out, the two of the mercenaries that killed the president were American. They didn't, after the first report, never again. It was always Colombians, the Colombian mercenaries. And so something's fishy there. Something about this whole goddamn thing is fishy.
Appointed, and it is the goal of all in the government to hold election as soon as possible. September is what people are talking about.
And that's right around the corner. Is it even possible for Haiti to hold elections by then?
You know, elections in Haiti are challenging even in the best of times, and this is definitely nowhere near that now. Gangs control large portions of Haiti, including major parts of the capital. The economy is just enormous. The political upheaval of the final years of Moïse's administration which destroyed the economy, and it just created this huge humanitarian crisis. I spoke with human rights advocate and criminal defense lawyer Samuel Maristan about Henri becoming the new prime minister and calls for elections as soon as possible. Maristan just said he doesn't have very high expectations that Henri will be able to do much better to solve Haiti's deep-rooted problems, but he did say a rushed election could just make things even worse.
I would agree with that.
People contest every day, so you don't have stability. We need free and fair elections to make stability and democracy.
He's just saying we need stability and democracy, yes, and yes, we need free and fair
he's
elections.
Right.
And he says if
he's
people
right.
don't believe in the elections, they'll just go back out on the streets and protest, and the political unrest and all the instability in the country will just keep continuing.
I agree
so
with
like
that.
You're going to give it a try, but what's been the international reaction to this?
Well, I guess what we'd have to think about is what are they going to do in the interim, before the elections? Like, somebody has to be in charge. Well, you know, aesthetically anyway. Otherwise, it'll fall into chaos because nobody knows what to do. That's kind of like what it is fucking here with illegitimate Joe, man. It falling into chaos.
Plan for our new prime minister.
It's being endorsed by this group. It's called the Core Group, and it's key diplomats from countries including the U.S. and Canada and the EU, and representatives from the United Nations and the Organization of American States. And they actually came out over the weekend endorsing Ariel Henry, and that seemed to push the scales in his direction. But that could be a problem for Henry, because if he's perceived not to be legitimate, if Haitians think that he was a candidate of forces outside of Haiti imposed on the country, that will definitely make it tough for him from the get-go to bring about this unity government that he's been talking about.
That's NPR's Carrie Kahn. Carrie, thanks.
You're welcome.
Interesting.
Negotiators appear close to a final opioid settlement meant to
resolve
Jesus
Christ.
Suits against some of America's
Jesus
biggest
Christ.
Companies, including Johnson.
This is horseshit again. Very, very similar to the story of the real Rick Ross. The government wanted money. They don't need money because, well, they're fucking greedy, selfish pigs. Every last goddamn one of them. But they were getting money from Afghanistan, they were getting opium from Afghanistan, making their oxycodone and oxycontin and all of this motherfucking shit. But they needed somebody to process it. That's where the Mackler, the I don't know, whatever family this is. They charged them to do it, and they made a lot of fucking money. But now they're the fucking scapegoat. It was move, checkmate, boom, you're done. It's how it fucking goes, man. Come on.
Expected to pay about $26 billion, and that money will go to drug addiction programs and other social services.
NPR addiction correspondent Brian Mann joins us to talk about this. Brian, what more do we know about this final settlement?
What was that?
Yay!
Rate, subscribe, and share.
Yay!
Yeah, it's massive. It involves Johnson & Johnson, but also McKesson, Cardinal Health, and AmerisourceBergen. These are companies that made and distributed prescription opioids. These talks are still underway, but pressure on the companies to settle has grown in recent months. There have been more of these opioid lawsuits moving forward, and that's meant really embarrassing disclosures about their opioid sales and distribution practices. Sources in the offices of two state attorneys general tell NPR a national deal is very close this week, they say. And Johnson & Johnson also sent a statement to NPR, which they've issued before, saying there continues to be progress toward finalizing this agreement. And this could be a game changer. The lion's share of this $26 billion would be used for treatment programs. We had 93,000 drug fatalities last year.
Again, you see, with the government and the way they operate, the ends justify the means. What that means is what they end up getting justifies everything they did to get there, which is fucked up. There has to be a different way. Or maybe not. Maybe that's just the games they play. Fuck it, that's just the world we live in. Let's step in line, I guess. Fucking capitulation. Let's say, yeah, that's a good thing. Yay, fuck you.
So more help is desperately needed. And word of this deal comes on the same day when the Justice Department is blasting another opioid settlement involving Purdue Pharma and the members of the Sackler family, who are among the owners. What's happening with that one?
Yeah, so this is a separate bankruptcy plan that's nearing completion for Purdue Pharma. They're the makers of this medication, OxyContin. And what's controversial here is that it would give immunity from opioid lawsuits to members of the Sackler family and also many of their associates, even though all those folks haven't filed for bankruptcy. And yesterday, two separate divisions of the DOJ filed legal briefs describing that provision as
It's not on the Sackler family, man. They were just trying to make money. They made a lot of money. But the fucking government was funding it, man. That's just how this shit works. Just like Rick Ross and his son crack in the 80s. Government funded. That's how this shit works. How they do.
Illegal and unconstitutional. What the DOJ pointed out is that while one portion of this deal does require the Sacklers to pay $4.3 billion out of their private fortunes to compensate victims, many of their associates involved in this bankruptcy plan, they haven't agreed to pay anything.
What do the Sacklers and Purdue Pharma have to say?
So Purdue Pharma sent a statement to NPR yesterday saying this bankruptcy deal will help people, channeling, again, billions of dollars to families and communities hit by this epidemic. They also say there's precedent for this kind of immunity from civil lawsuits that would be extended to the Sacklers and their associates. And it is important to say that while Purdue Pharma has pleaded guilty twice to federal crimes linked to opioid sales, the Sacklers themselves
That's big pharma for you. But let's run out and get that goddamn vaccine because you know they're fucking good people.
At a hearing next month. Do these new legal arguments from the Department of Justice maybe change that?
This whole thing, it makes me sick.
Say federal bankruptcy judge
it's
Robert Drain appears committed to a settlement on roughly these lines. A growing number of states have signed on, so there is a lot of momentum ahead of a confirmation hearing that's scheduled for August 9th. But these objections by the DOJ do, again, focus new attention on questions being asked by a lot of legal scholars about how the Sacklers use the bankruptcy system here to avoid full accountability. If this plan is approved, they will once again admit...
You can't blame them for fucking trying to not... It's not entirely their fault. At all. It's not like they knew what was going to happen. Oh, they may have. I don't know. They're probably... I don't know. I don't know. I don't fucking know what they knew. But it doesn't fucking matter because it was set up by the United States government. That's what they fucking do. I mean, it's all just a distraction. That's all this shit... really is just a distraction to keep fuckers occupied. Fuck them bastards.
No wrongdoing.
Brian Mann covers addiction and opioid litigation for NPR. Brian, thanks.
Thank you.
Jamaica me crazy. Jamaica me crazy.
The world's richest man, who is not me, is blasting off into space today.
Yeah, Blue Origin, the company that Jeff Bezos founded, will make its first suborbital flight with him and some other people, also not A. Martinez, on board. Blue Origin is competing against other companies at this point to win the space tourism race.
For more, we're joined now by Brendan Byrne. He covers space at NPR member station WMFE in Orlando, Florida. Brendan, so what's going to happen today?
I understand why they're doing this right now, why they're airing the story, just to kind of lighten the mood. Because as you can tell, they're joking, not the richest man, the richest man in the world, not me. Ha, ha, ha. Go fuck yourself. Jeff Bezos isn't the richest man in the world, number one. He isn't, I promise you. Number two, why the fuck is he... Only people that are going to be into space tourism are the wealthy. The only reason he's doing this is to make more money. I just don't fucking get it. Well, you know what? Fuck it. Why do I care? Why the fuck do I even fucking care? I mean, fuck it. Do you, buddy. Do what you got to do to get through this life, man. Who the fuck am I to say you can't? I guess I'm just... Why the fuck are these people covering it, though? Well, because it's news. It's news. It's aggravating news, but it's news. Let's listen.
So the spacecraft is called New Shepard, scheduled to take off from Blue Origin's facility in West Texas. Now, the rocket will head to the boundary of space, and just as it reaches that point, a small capsule carrying the crew will break off from the rest of the ship, and that will give the passengers about 4 minutes of weightlessness. They'll have views of the Earth against the blackness of space, and then the capsule will fall back to Earth and land in the Texas desert thanks to a set of parachutes, and the whole experience is just under 11 minutes.
So because everyone's wondering, a higher or lower than Richard Branson?
Right now it's planned as higher.
But higher. You know what?
I'm sure everyone wants to know that.
You know what would be interesting? I didn't want to fucking know that. I didn't fucking care, douche monkey. But what I want to know, what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought. I should stop getting high. No, you shouldn't. Okay, I won't. Let's go ahead to listening.
And Basil's probably wants to know, too. All right, so we know Basil's on the flight. Who else is going with him?
That's right. So there's three other passengers. So Blue Origin hopes to make history with both the oldest and the youngest person to ever go to space. So there's 82-year-old Wally Funk. She's a pilot and was a member of the Mercury 13. That was a program back in the 60s that put female astronaut candidates through similar training and testing as NASA's male astronauts. But Funk and none of the women from that program ever got a chance to go to space. She is speaking with StoryCorps back in 2017.
I had applied to NASA 4 times. And finally they said, Wally, you know, we're sorry, but you don't have an engineering degree. I said, well, I'll get one. So I never let anything stop me.
So now about a half century later, she's finally getting her chance to go to space. Then there's also Oliver Damon. He's only 18 years old, which would make him the youngest person to travel into space. Damon wasn't originally supposed to be on this flight. Actually, the spot was reserved for the winner of a $28 million auction. But that person who paid for the seat ended up having a scheduling conflict, so Damon got the seat instead. And the fourth and final spot is for the brother of Jeff Bezos, Mark.
Paid $28 million and had a scheduling conflict. I can't believe it. Okay, fine. I mentioned Richard Branson earlier this month. Another billionaire went on the space flight. So,
but it's okay because it's only $28 million. These fuckers are...
anytime soon?
You know, I talked to Nicole Stott about this. She's a retired NASA astronaut. She says, yes, space tourism is exciting.
What's going to happen when those goddamn parachutes
really
don't open?
One of all this is the reality check that that's not everybody going is
to
going
be
to be
awesome.
To do it.
Well,
least
no,
in,
it's not
going to
be.
Oh,
that was sarcasm.
Right?
So these are the very first flights, and that's
those parachutes
why
better
so
open.
You know, eventually
for
these
them,
prices
I guess.
Will go down. So it only costs a few hundred
thousand. I don't know how to feel about that.
Which means clearly, right, most people will still not get the chance to go to space.
Yeah.
So what's the future for this
industry? Yeah, what's the point?
Is there going to be a market for these
commercial
space flights?
What's the fucking point?
You know, it sure appears there is. Blue Origin says it's planning two more space tourism flights this year, half a dozen next year. And the company's long-term goal is to fly as often as once every 2 weeks. And for Virgin Galactic, that's Richard Branson's space tourism company, he says it already has around 600 reservations filled for flights on its spacecraft.
Not my reservation. Brennan Byrne, member station WMFE.
Who the fuck cares?
In Florida. Brennan, thanks.
Stop being a pussy, little bitch.
And that's a...
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, God damn it. Man, I didn't write the stories down. You're a dumbass. It's okay. It's okay. We will figure this shit out. Because that's what we do. We make shit happen. Shall we do some review? I think we shall. The first story was about the new Haitian president. Or prime minister. I think it's president. I don't fucking know. Because I'm so involved with it, but because they got to find out what fucking country was behind killing the first dude. We got to figure out what the fuck happened there. I'm still gonna be following that shit because that was a story. That was a story. Well, who knows what's gonna be fucking published? Because again, they're changing shit around. The first time they said that the guy was shot at the president's residence, they said two of the mercenaries that were arrested were Americans. But you never heard anything more after that. Nothing. So who was behind it? Something's fishy. That whole fucking situation stinks. Like a fucking fish, man. Word. But now, because I'm a fucking pothead and I didn't remember to write shit down, I'm gonna sip my coffee. We have to go back and we have to listen to see what the second story was.
Bankruptcy plan, they have.
Ah, yes. Now I remember. The second story was about fucking opioid epidemic. Pandemic, epidemic. It's people died.
Yay!
Rate, subscribe, and share.
Yay!
Because they got hooked on cheap fucking pills. And when the pills fucking got cut off, they switched to heroin and OD'd. Now, why is it the makers of the pills' fault? No. Personal responsibility. That's whose fucking fault it is. Jesus. So that whole thing was bullshit. Because it's not about blaming someone for somebody else's choices that they made. That's a fucking game you'll never win. Take fucking personal responsibility. Boom. That's it, yo. And then, story number three was about space tourism. Do you really give a fuck? Because here in 100 years, we're going to be back to the fucking brass age. Stone, not quite the stone age, but back to the fucking... brass age. We're gonna be set back. Like, we're gonna be set back. So all these newfangled space machines, you're such an old man. They are not gonna work anymore. So let him be. Let him do what he wanted to do. I don't fucking care. Why should anybody else care? It's a distraction. It'll get you through this life to the next fucking day, I guess. Oh, I can't believe you just fucking said that, man. I don't know where I was going to go with that. Anyway. So what? Oh, we do now is we are going to see what Mr. Ben Davidson has to say about the space weather. We're going to see what the space weather is for Tuesday, July 20th, 2021. Good morning, Mr. Ben.
Good morning, folks. Today we'll see the cresting of the active regions onto the Earth-facing side of the sun. We've got cosmology and catastrophism in focus today, and we are starting with our star, spaceweathernews.com. We find the last day on the sun brings those sunspot groups from the far side over into view on the left. There was yet another eruption. Still partially hidden behind the limb, Earth only saw up to C-class X-ray flare energy. It was probably higher, but we can say that the regions are actively producing those eruptions as they head in towards the Earth-facing disk. Looking at the sunspots, we've got a developing group on the north, what's the bet it fires when it heads to the far side, and incoming we still just see the very edge of the active regions. It's especially true on the south, as it is sitting slightly behind the northern spots in heliographic longitude. We're taking a minor coronal hole stream impact this morning in the solar wind. We'll watch in case the plasma speed ramps up further, but for now, it's a moderate stream with little geomagnetic effect. Let's head right out to a super flare star, and while its maximum energy range is not that much higher than our sun's maximum flares, oh boy, does it make them more often. The sun's maximum is about 10 to the 34 ergs. This star fires one of those every 2 days. The sun does it every 6,000 years. While an even bigger one, however, 10 to the 35 ergs, is occurring on this star every 2 weeks. Would not be fun to invent electricity around that solar system. Up next, the big astronomy story is underwhelming me today, as is usually the case with the Event Horizon Telescope, locating the inner heart of Centaurus A. But let's remember, as we look into star systems and radio, radio waves do not capture the central energetic object. Like the star or the galactic nucleus, if you don't get the right wavelength. It's not that nothing is there, which is what we are meant to believe with the Event Horizon Telescope, and if you think about it, look at the jets they're scoping here. Jets aren't doubles. There aren't two that go north and south. This is the outside edge of the jet, shining in radio wavelengths. But in other wavelengths, the axis and core of the jet would have been revealed. Not the best day for the decades-long struggle ongoing for the cold dark matter model, found here to be in conflict with observations, specifically the cosmokinetic parameters. And piling on there today, folks, the cosmic coincidence problem is one to get to know. Few things can tell you how pitifully they guess at the universe, as when you realize that the coincidence is that the energy density of dark matter, dark energy, matches that of normal matter, but only at this exact epoch of the universe. Either that's one heck of a coincidence, or they're being tricked and are overplaying local and recent dynamics. In short, their paradigm is getting embarrassing. Up next, we'll confirm and close the book on the causation of the local vertical waves in the galaxy. The current sheet of the Milky Way was once thought to be caused by the collision with the Sagittarius dwarf galaxy. It is now thought to be caused by the Taurus jet model. But this team over the last year has utterly destroyed the previous narrative. Veteran observers, these would be the perturbation waves of the current sheet that we discuss all the time. And last but not least, super happy to see the observers figure this one out in the comment section. Yes, this is another confirmation that our prediction of the highest lightning surges coming to the Arctic was true. They will blame climate change till the end, but that wouldn't disproportionately affect the polar region. However, the weakening magnetic field of Earth, letting in more particles at the northern polar cusp, which bypasses the magnetic shield of Earth, is a direct input to the global electric circuit and a major trigger of lightning. When they said Arctic lightning was up 300%, we could pretty much know our prediction was solid. And it continues, just like the weakening of the field towards the next 12,000-year excursion event. We greatly appreciate your support. Learn more at the playlist linked right below the video and at our channel homepage. We've got wind maps and shots of our star to close. Subscribe, and we'll do this all again tomorrow. Right here, but right now at 6 a.m. in the new Valley of the Sun. Eyes open. No fear. Be safe, everyone.
Be fucking safe, everyone. Remember to subscribe to Suspicious Observers on YouTube to get full impact of the videos and stay up to date on all the news. Fuck yeah. Why not? God damn it, it needs to be done. Why are... Who am I the fuck tell you what to do? Do whatever the fuck you want. I suggest it. It's something good one should know. I is my point. Put this bogey out because I'm just done with it. Shine On Botanicals. Soon to be the Jester's Royal Tinctures and Jester's Royal Roll-On. We have an introductory distilled from hemp. They are one of the purest CBD distillates on the market. Price special going on right now. Buy one for $60, buy two for $100. Hemp grown naturally, no pesticides, no chemicals. There are wholesale prices available for orders over 5 bottles. It's FDA approved. Email the promoting jester at gmail.com to place your orders. Now let's get back to the show. Done with it. Para ahora. Another stellar episode, Mr. Ben. Love it. Fucking awesome, dude. Did I send an email out to you guys yesterday? I don't know. I'll have to check. I think I did. I'm not sure. Woo! You're a jerk. Why didn't you? Hold on. Let's check. Let's check right now. Nope. Well, let's go to sent. Sent. Okay, I did. I most certainly did. Awesome. Good shit. But now it is time for shout out to the Good News Network for the quote of the day. Oh my goodness, excuse me. I am seeking, I am striving, I am in it with all my heart. Vincent van Gogh. You have to be in everything you do with all your heart. Half-assed, is that how you want to live your life? You want to be known as the half-assed person? Put everything into it. Make it the best. Be proud of every goddamn thing you do. I am seeking. I am striving. I am in it with all my heart. Fuck yes. Go at everything with all your heart. Be committed. Have no doubt that you are going to win in the end. Because you are. Because you fucking are. No matter what you choose, you are going to fucking win. So be a better version of yourself. Smoke weed every day and make shit happen.